Welcome to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Loose Customs, a division of J. Walton Automotive, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Your host, David Swope, will be talking about events happening around the state and on the national scene, whether it's got two wheels or four wheels, pavement and off-road racing, or park and shine. If you are into it, we are into it. Call now, 994-1017. That's 994-1017 to get into all the action. Now, here's your host, David Swope.
All right, good morning. It's Saturday morning, 8 a.m., August 6th, 2016, and that means it's time for the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team. I'm Dominic Ottagon. I'm with TheRacingExperts.net. We're sitting in for David Swope this weekend. We're going to be talking about automobile and related motorsports activities around the state and on the national scene. So whether it has two wheels, four, asphalt or dirt racing, off-road or park and shine, we'll be talking about it. If you're into it, we're into it, because this is New Mexico's only show devoted to motorsport-related activities with a full hour here on ESPN Radio, 101.7, The Team. So what a week to be a NASCAR fan. If you guys have been following the Sprint Cup Series and been kind of looking at the chase picture as we go on with five races left now before the chase begins, this past weekend at Pocono Raceway provided a really good opportunity to shake up the chase standings. And there's other headlines to look at, too, with Dale Earnhardt Jr. now sitting out, and he's going to be sitting out at least the next couple of weeks. Well, Chris Buescher won this past weekend with Front Row Motorsports in the number 34 car, leading 12 laps. And, in fact, leading those 12 laps, that was the first time he's ever led any laps in a Sprint Cup race. And when you look at Chris Buescher and his track record in the Sprint Cup Series, he is a Roush Fenway Racing driver who has been contracted to run with Front Row Motorsports, and Front Row has kind of taken advantage of this opportunity because they have a technical alliance now with Roush Fenway Racing. So one can definitely speculate, okay, Chris Buescher, he has the 34 car here, but is Roush having some sort of hand in preparing this equipment? And we've seen Chris Buescher now, who has been about 30th in points all year. He's moving up in points because of how he's finishing Indianapolis a couple weeks ago. He out-dueled Chase Elliott, one of the best rookies classes we've seen in a long time. And to see Chris Buescher out doing that and to go lead some laps last week, he played the cards right. And actually, we did catch up with him last week at Pocono Raceway as he was walking to victory lane. Keep in mind, with the race was shortened about 20 laps. The fog rolls in Pocono, and for any of the fans that have been out there, Pocono Raceway is this track pretty much in the middle of nowhere. It's about 90 miles west of New York City and about 65 miles north of Philadelphia. So you're sitting there in the Appalachian Mountains. It's nice and green, and the track is just situated with a lot of mountain, and so you never know what kind of weather you're going to get. Both races this year had a little bit of a rain delay and postponement, so Chris Buescher takes a little bit of strategy here. His crew chief tells him, okay, stay out, lead some laps, and he assumes the lead with about a 20-second lead. All right, six laps later, the caution comes out. He's ahead of Brad Keselowski by about 10 seconds, and Buescher had been about a 25th place race car. NASCAR holds off the calling the race a little bit, and when they do, Chris Buescher's named your winner. Now, NASCAR makes it where, okay, you can make the chase if you've made every race this year and you're within the top 30 in points and you've won a race. That's a pretty much virtual guarantee into the chase. Buescher sits 31st in points currently, and he sits 6 points back behind David Ragan this week and heading into the race at Watkins Glen. But if Ragan, and if he's able to make up the deficit on Ragan, Buescher moves into the top 30. Buescher will now be chase eligible, and he will knock somebody that is not inside the chase, such as a Kyle Larson or a Casey Kane, who are just on the outside, right there on the chase grid. And because they don't have the win to back them up like Chris Buescher does, Buescher takes precedent over that. One of the other headlines we've been following from Watkins Glen this upcoming weekend, Dale Jr. is going to be sitting out now for his fifth consecutive race. Now, recall Jr. had some concussion-like symptoms, concussion-like issues, dating back to Michigan and Daytona from last month in June as well. And so he's had Jeff Gordon fill in for him. He's had Alex Bowman fill in at New Hampshire. But one of the biggest quotes to take away from that press conference, it was roughly a 30-minute conference yesterday, and Dale Jr. said, quote, "I have every intention of honoring my contract, which runs through 2017, Earnhardt." And he sat down with Rick Hendrick, and before this all happened a couple months ago, to talk about an extension. So that's the direction they're going. Dale Earnhardt Jr. has been outside the race car, but you can tell there's intention to race past 2016. And he did not want to use the word retirement in this press conference. That seemed like that was the furthest thing from his mind. But you definitely have to speculate. Okay, how long is a guy like this gonna be out? And obviously this affects the chase thing. They're not necessarily worried about making the chase at this point. They want to make sure their driver, Dale Earnhardt Jr., gets back to 100% and gets back to being able to wheel the race car like he should be able to and not have to worry about head injuries. And he's talked with his doctors. We'll be monitoring that situation as well. And one of the other headlines to talk about, too, Erik Jones in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Recall, he was the truck champion in 2015. He will be moving up to the Cup Series in 2017. Looks like he will be taking his efforts to Furniture Row Racing in the number 77 Toyota for the team. He's going to be backed with some sponsorship there from 5-Hour Energy. So it'll make you wonder, too, what will happen with Clint Boyer as he makes the move over from Tony Stewart. And one of the other notes, too, because this is a New Mexico Motorsports Report show, a little bit of a connection there, too, with the Watkins Glen race this weekend. Aztec New Mexico's Alex Kennedy will be making his first start in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series this weekend in 2016. And Kennedy has run roughly 20 races in the Cup Series, but he is yet to be back. And we did talk with the team owner, Jay Robinson, last week at Pocono Raceway. And Jay told us he was really excited to have Alex back in the car and that there's potentially opportunity for Alex to come back. And we've seen Alex run at some of these other racetracks. We've seen him run at Martinsville. And you know what? It seems like his road course racing skills tend to pick up, and that's where his best finishes are. Last year, he finished 28th in the race on the lead lap, and he's run the last three races out at Watkins Glen. So definitely some other headlines. And when you look at IndyCar, too, one thing that caught our eye this morning is Alexander Rossi, who's in his first year with IndyCar, running for Rookie of the Year. He, according to Racer.com, there are reports that the F1 Manor team is interested in picking him up in 2017. So we'll be monitoring that one a little bit. And the last thing, too, before we cut the break here, last week there was a little bit of NASCAR history made, a little bit of record here. So for you fans out there that love the stats, that love the numbers, Kurt Busch's finish on the lead lap last week in his 10th place finish broke a record previously held by Dale Earnhardt Jr. in 2012. That record is lead lap finishes consecutive to start a season. So in the first 21 races now, Kurt Busch has finished on the lead lap, has not finished a lap down, has not DNF'd or anything, and this streak actually extends back to November of 2015. So Kurt Busch made a little bit of NASCAR history there. And before we get to break, some practice numbers from Watkins Glen International. First practice yesterday, Martin Truex topped the board with the 69.5. Denny Hamlin, Casey Mears in the top three as well. And then you look at happy hour practice. A.J. Allmendinger took the top of the charts. Martin Truex second. Ricky Stenhouse was third. Jeff Gordon filling in at ninth place. And of course, Alex Kennedy was 39th in the 55 car, was about 3 seconds off the pace there. So on the other side of the break, we're going to go out live to Watkins Glen with Stan Creekmore. So stay tuned for that. You've been listening to 101.7 The Team.
ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team with David Swope, the fastest radio host in the West.
Napa Auto Parts presents NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Know-How with Chase Elliott and Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Chase, the guys and I wanted to say welcome to the team, so we pulled our money and got you a new set of wheels for riding around town.
Y'all shouldn't have.
It was our pleasure.
It's, a bicycle.
Why settle for 4 speeds when you can have 10?
Tune in next time for more Napa Know-How with Chase and Dale Jr.
Cochiti Golf Club, located in the mountains amongst spectacular vistas, a slice of heaven. Cochiti Golf Club is an 18-hole championship course designed by Robert Trent Jones II. Of the earth for the spirit. Beautiful fairways and amazing greens combine for unequal playing conditions, and they all await you at Cochiti Golf Club. Just a short 40-minute stress-free and scenic drive from Albuquerque. Book your tee time today. Visit CochitiGolfClub.com, CochitiGolfClub.com.
Lobos wear life jackets. The New Mexico State Parks Division, in a partnership with UNM Lobo Athletics, would like to remind everyone to wear their life jacket, boat smart on the water, and be aware of weather conditions. Remember, boating under the influence in New Mexico is strictly enforced and prohibited. You drink, you boat, you lose. New Mexico State Parks offers free boating safety classes statewide and online throughout the year. For more information, visit www.nmparks.com or call 1-888-NM-PARKS. Be a Lobo and wear your life jacket.
Hi, Joe O'Neill with 101.7 The Team. I have an appreciation for other New Mexico-owned companies, and Duke City Ready Mix has been locally owned since 2001. Their motto is quality matters here, and if I see a site with a Duke City Ready Mix truck, I know quality matters on that project as well. Those trucks are churning out the best concrete in the Rio Grande Valley. Great contractors like James Corporation and HB Construction use them for a reason. Insist on Duke City Ready Mix for your next residential or commercial project, 877-5777.
Built for business. In business, time is money. In business, money is also money. No wonder nearly 1,000 businesses choose Comcast Business Internet over DSL from the phone company every single day. Not only is it up to 5 times faster, it's actually a better value when you go with the fastest plan. So take a minute out of your busy schedule and call Comcast Business. It will be well worth your time and your money.
Switch to Comcast Business Internet. Then add voice and TV for just $34.90 a month. And ask about our 2-year price guarantee. Call 800-501-6000 or visit ComcastBusiness.com. Comcast Business. Built for business.
Offer ends 8/31/16. Restrictions apply. Limited to 1 voice line and private view TV for new customers. 2-year contract required. Requires Comcast Business Internet and an additional monthly charge. Equipment, taxes, and fees, including broadcast TV fee extra. Savings claim based on cost per megabits per second. Compares Comcast 100 megabits per second and 20 megabits per second DSL downloads.
The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Loose Customs, a division of J. Walton Automotive, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report. Dominic Ottagon is filling in for David Strope this morning. Hey, for more than 30 years, J. Walton Automotive has been providing exceptional quality, full-service auto repair. Professional, but not a big-box shop. Personal, where they know your name with phenomenal customer service, including a free shuttle service when you're there. Also now the home for Loose Customs. Show quality paint and custom builds and restorations, including creative fabrication and high-performance engineering. They're located at 9401 Central, just a mile north of either the Wyoming or Eubank Gates for Kirtland Air Force Base. Give them a call at 296-4816. That's 505-296-4816. They can also be found online at jwaltonautomotive.com. And including cars, and when we talk cars, you have to also talk about New Mexico's only custom car builder magazine, which is the New Mexico Rods and Ride magazine, with monthly full features such as the Business Spotlight, Reader Fever, and a complete listing of all New Mexico car clubs. Got to pick up a copy. They're available at any Napa store here in Albuquerque, Rio Rancho, Las Lunas, and you work your way south, Blend and Socorro. So contributing columns such as the Showtime, Old Time Fun, and the monthly car have made the New Mexico Rods and Ride magazine a local favorite for over 6 years. So make sure you pick up your local copy today. So we got a special treat for you guys today. As always, we try to get live track reports, and out at Watkins Glen for us this weekend, we have Stan Creekmore. He's been covering auto racing for over 35 years, and he's the senior editor at theracingexperts.net. So let's go out to Watkins Glen this morning. Stan, how you doing?
I'm alive here, so I'm doing great. It rained like crazy here for about 2 hours around 5 o'clock, but the weather's really nice now, so everything's good.
Well, excellent. That was going to lead into our first question here. Obviously, weather did affect NASCAR plans last week at Pocono. From what you've seen and what you've gathered, how is weather going to affect this weekend at Watkins Glen?
Well, I think it's, you know, there's always a chance of rain from that standpoint. But I don't think we're going to have any problems. I think we're going to be able to get the race in just fine. When it rains here, it kind of rains overnight. It doesn't really rain too much during the day. So, and with the new repaving, there's been no water issues on the racetrack whatsoever this morning.
Excellent. And you think back to Watkins Glen, like 2011, for example, where the race got pushed back to a Monday.
So, see, I'm sorry, I missed part of that.
Oh, yeah, no, just going back to the rain issues as well, you have to think about Watkins Glen and the weather affecting this place, especially dating back to a race like in 2011, where the race got pushed back a day because of inclement weather on a Sunday.
Yeah, that was just a rare instance here. It, for the most part, it's been we haven't had that problem here. I can only remember that as the one rain out we had. I think we had a race slowed down one time by a rain, but it cleared off pretty quick and such. So I don't think it's going to be any kind of issue this weekend.
Well, excellent. That's awesome to hear. And Stan, you were there on Friday, and just we want to gauge your thoughts on what the buzz was around the media center on Friday and what maybe some of the headlines were to come out of that.
Well, the biggest buzz right now is that Eric Jones will be announced as another driver for Furniture Row Racing. And I suspect that Joe Gibbs Racing is heavily involved in that situation. But that would make Eric Jones the teammate for Martin Truex Jr., if it all occurs. And supposedly, the announcement is going to be made tomorrow.
Okay, absolutely. And that's one thing we've been kind of monitoring as well. Now, maybe too early to speculate on this, but with that 77 team that they have allegedly announced with this car, what's the chance of seeing maybe the Furniture Row guys possibly try to lease a charter from a team that already has?
Well, I would imagine the teams would want, they'd want to find something so that they can get him secured and guaranteed that he'll make every single race. But with everything up in the sky right now, I mean, nothing could happen on Sunday. It could be that they don't get all the details worked out, and so they keep their mouth shut. The biggest thing they've taken the first step, and the first step was to announce that Martin Truex Jr. has re-signed his contract, and they've got a full two-year extension on him and everything. So it says everything's moving in the right direction, but it's just not all done yet.
Absolutely, maybe likely an announcement formally this week in North Carolina. And additionally, in the media center yesterday, Dale Earnhardt Jr. addressed the media, and you were there for that press conference. What was your biggest takeaway from Jr. addressing the media yesterday?
I'm scared. That's my biggest take from it. He freely admitted that he actually gets scared being around people, that it causes him to be more recognized from his standpoint of the problems that he's having with stabilization in his mind. And although the doctors say everything is healing, slow but surely and such, it's the healing process includes still feeling all of the issues. And so he was a little bit scared being there, but he was extremely positive. He did also say, and you have to believe him, that his goal is to get back in the race car. There are several, including myself, who feel he may be on his way to total retirement, that it may not be possible for him to return as an accomplished driver. But his goal is to return, drive the car again, and challenge for a championship.
Absolutely. One of the biggest quotes we gathered from that yesterday was when Earnhardt Jr. said, quote, "I have every intention of honoring my current contract. I sat with Rick, team owner Rick Hendrick, that is, before this weekend, or this happened a couple months ago, to talk about an extension, and that's the direction we were going. But after 2017, do you even see the potential of maybe Earnhardt Jr. running a race this season, or is that too far advanced to really even talk about and speculate at this time?"
Speculate is the right word. It is too much to speculate on. I think that until he gets doctors, and these are very top-level doctors that are working with him out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, until he gets them to tell him he's clear, he's not clear. He can't make any plans for the future. And he's admitting that hey, what I want and what I'm planning to do, you know, are two different things. I'm not planning anything. What I want is I want to be back.
Absolutely. And you look at his replacement, Jeff Gordon. This will be his third race back in the 88 car. This will be Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s fourth consecutive weekend outside of a race car. So looking at Jeff Gordon and looking at the practice sheets, ninth and happy hour, what was your take on on Gordon's fill-in role here with the 88 team? And what do you think about their chances of potentially scoring a win, a top five, or a top 10 finish tomorrow?
Well, it was hard. It's really hard to tell, to be honest with you. And there was so much going on with the Earnhardt situation and with a few other deals that are going on here that I didn't get a chance to totally look at everything. But I did look at all the different drivers. And Keselowski and Joey Logano brought this up, that the asphalt on the track is changed so dramatically, as well as the curbing, if you want to call it that. But that part of the track that you're not really supposed to drive on, but you do drive on it, has changed dramatically as well. And so the first practice for the Xfinity Series and the first practice for the Cup Series over the last 2 days has been very touchy for every single driver. So Gordon's advantage in that is that everybody has to learn everything he has to learn in getting the process right. And I think that qualifying today is really going to open the door to what's Gordon's possibilities here this weekend.
And for the fans that may not know as well, the Rumble strips, they redid the Rumble strips around Watkins Glen International. And Stan, how much does this new Rumble strips there, how much is that going to affect tire wear on Sunday? How much is that going to be of a difference?
Well, Goodyear has brought a very, very hard tire, so there shouldn't be any issue with the Rumble strips whatsoever. The drivers will have to get used to feeling the shake that might occur when they hit the Rumble strips. But as far as destroying the race tires itself, no, that should not be a problem at all.
All right. And then additionally, looking at some of the headlines this weekend, we have three drivers who are making their starts at the century mark, and that would be Jeff Gordon. He's going to be making his 800th Sprint Cup Series start. Matt Kenseth will be making his 600th series start, and Michael McDowell will be making his 200th series start. So going into the weekend like that, how big are numbers like that for drivers and for fans, and how big a storylines do you think those are with drivers hitting century marks? Because those are likely something drivers hit once every 3 years if they're a full-time driver.
Well, I think McDowell's 200 number, you know, means, okay, you're here. But when you look at Matt Kenseth's 600 starts, that's you've been here a long time. You are truly a veteran, and it's kind of a throwback to the 1950s, if you will, back when they used to run as many as 50 races a year. Mm-hmm. Now we run a very specific number. It doesn't change from year to year, and it's harder to get to that number 600. Than it was back in the 1950s and 60s and early 70s. So to know that Matt Kenseth and others are reaching that number 600 is a huge moment. And it's interesting because Kenseth and Dale Jr., same age, but yet Kenseth feels perfectly healthy, and he thinks, hey, I can get to 700, I can get to 750.
Absolutely.
And, that's 5 more years worth of racing.
And with Kenseth sitting in his 40s, it makes you wonder about the contracts. And when you look on the flip side of that, the rookies, some of these rookies are going to be making their first start at Watkins Glen in the Sprint Cup Series, and that includes Chase Elliott and Ryan Blaney. What, for you, Stan, do you think will be the biggest challenge for the four rookie contenders this weekend?
Well, I think it's all level right now, okay? I really don't think the rookies have a challenge. It would be different if we were going to Talladega, if we were going to Daytona or Charlotte or someplace where they don't have nearly as many laps on the pavement that all the other drivers do. But with this brand new pavement, from a rookie standpoint, that's a good deal, because everyone has to learn the same thing you have to learn. And both drivers have experience as far as the design of the track is concerned from their rookie years. So you don't have to relearn that situation. All you have to do is adjust to the speeds that the new asphalt is providing. And there have been 2 to 2.5 second pickup in how fast someone can get around this track. And 2.5 seconds. That's about traveling the distance of 2.5 football fields faster.
Yes, absolutely.
So that means your wide receiver, right, can catch a pass and he could score three touchdowns in the time that it currently now takes him to score one.
And that's a great way to put that in perspective, because you always hear about a football field a second. So that's great there. And real quickly here, Stan, for the New Mexico fans here, Alex Kennedy making his first start this weekend at Watkins Glen in 2016. He's from Aztec, New Mexico, small town here in New Mexico. What should NASCAR fans from New Mexico expect from Kennedy tomorrow?
I think that they should look and see a driver who's smart, okay? He's a very smart young man, and he doesn't make stupid mistakes. He doesn't take risks that are going to take him out early in any way, shape, or form. So I think what they can see is a solid performance as a driver from a standpoint of the car itself. We're not 100% sure what it's going to be capable of doing in any way, shape, or form. But from a driver standpoint, I think that those from New Mexico should be very proud that he's going to go out there and show his best ability.
All right, Stan, before we cut to break, just want to ask you, who's your pick to win tomorrow? Who's the favorite to win?
I picked the first car with the driver in it to pass the checkered flag before anyone else. As an old member of the media, we're not supposed to pick winners.
Sure. Absolutely. we can respect that. And, Stan, thank you so much for your live report from Watkins Glen. We definitely appreciate that.
All right. Thank you all very much. And I hope everyone in New Mexico enjoys the race tomorrow and today.
Absolutely. We'll be watching. That was Stan Creekmore. He covers auto racing for theracingexperts.net and has been covering motorsport for over 35 years, so we appreciate his live report from Watkins Glen International. And we'll be taking a break here. On the other side of the break, we'll be catching up with another NASCAR motorsports journalist. So stay tuned. You're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
Hi, this is Joey Gates. You're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN Radio 101.7, The Team.
Sundays in August at San Felipe Casino are all about you. You're in charge of the prize board. Set your cards and roll the dice. If your cards beat the dice total, you win. Sweep the board and win $1,200. It's your game. Drawings are every Sunday at 2, 4, 6, and 8 p.m. And Fridays in August just got hotter. Hot Seat Plinko is back every Friday from 7 to 10 p.m. Don't miss your chance to win up to $400 in quick cash during the hourly drawing. San Felipe Casino, I-25, exit 252.
Losing sleep? Worried about the impact of the next market correction on your retirement nest egg? Do you have what some call a hope and a prayer portfolio? Our firm specializes in working with investors that are 50 years and older who employ high probability and defensive strategies that help our clients sleep better at night. Call the Oxford Wealth Advisors team at 505-891-9800. That's 505-891-9800.
After an amazing 2015 season, which culminated with a bowl appearance for the first time in 7 years, Lobo Football is back. The 2016 Lobo Football home schedule features 6 exciting home games, including Boise State, Nevada, and Wyoming. Season ticket packages are available starting as low as $96. 2016 Lobo Football season tickets are available by calling 505-925-LOBO or visit golobos.com. 2016 Lobo Football. Fighting ever, yielding never.
Nestled in the beautiful North Valley with a spectacular garden patio, fresh and delicious margaritas with live music Friday, Saturday, and Sundays. It's Casa de Benavides and Albuquerque the Magazine's top 5 restaurant. Beautiful patio, authentic New Mexican food, Casa de Benavides, just south of Paseo on 4th Street.
Casino at the Downs hosts the Downs Derby every Sunday, 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. And check out the flea market and other expo events. Plus, get tickets now for September State Fair concerts and rodeo only at Casino at the Downs, 1 mile south of ABQ Uptown.
Your life is unique. That's why U.S. Eagle Federal Credit Union has checking options to match your needs. From standard checking with all of the essential services to dividend checking that puts money back in your account every month for large balances. Or rewards checking that pays you cash back on transactions. At U.S. Eagle, there is a checking option that's right for you. Call 888-342-8766 or visit one of our 9 locations in Albuquerque, Bernalillo, Santa Fe, or Farmington. U.S. Eagle, where members are owners and where everyone belongs.
Affordable Tires and Service has been treating their clients like friends for decades. Come see why their customers rank them number one. There's a reason why their name is Affordable Tires. They guarantee the best price on top tire brands like Michelin, Yokohama, Goodyear, and more. If you buy 4 tires, they'll give your vehicle a free alignment. Affordable Tires is more than the best tire shop in town. Their expert mechanics will fix everything from brakes to engines, and they guarantee their work. It's Affordable Tires and Service, home of the $11.99 oil change. That's right, $11.99. 3 Albuquerque locations and 1 in Berlin.
The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Loose Customs, a division of J. Walton Automotive, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio. Albuquerque, 101.7 The Team. Dom Nakata going here, filling in for David Sulk this weekend. So I just want to share this with you guys. Since 1968, Yearwood Performance has been a staple in the Southwest hot rod scene. Yearwood Performance, they are the experts. They give you the edge you need on the track and on the street. Knowledge of what to use and how to do it. Carburetors, intakes, hoses, fittings, you name it. They even have nitros. You know, any way you want it. So it's New Mexico's oldest and largest speed shop. It's Yearwood Performance. They're located at 341 Eubank, south of I-40, and 9674 Eagle Ranch Road, across from Costco, on the west side. Give them a call at 890-9190. That's 505-890-9190. Buy local, save time and money, yearwoodperformance.com. So, as promised from the other side of the break, we are joined now with another motorsport journalist. She's been covering the sport for over 30 years, and in that time, that includes time at UPI, working for Team Penske, and she's a published author. She is the senior writer at Racing Today. So we welcome on the show Deb Williams. Deb, how are you doing this morning?
Fine, thank you. How are you doing?
Oh, doing great. Great to have you on our show this morning.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. I'm honored to be in the households of everyone in the Albuquerque, New Mexico area.
Absolutely. We're so happy you joined the show this morning. So definitely want to talk some NASCAR with you. There's some headlines that have come out of Watkins Glen this past weekend, and arguably the biggest thing is Dale Earnhardt addressing the media on Friday about updating his condition and status. What was your biggest takeaway from Dale Earnhardt Jr. addressing the media yesterday?
I think the biggest thing was Dale Earnhardt Jr. put to rest any speculations or any rumors that he might be on the verge of retirement. He made it very clear he has no intention of that his number one objective is to get 100% well and then come back and drive. He misses it. He doesn't want to retire, but getting healthy is extremely important to him. And I thought it was interesting that he said his doctor has him doing therapy every day and exercises that will actually make his mind stronger or his brain stronger when he does return. And he encouraged him to go in the situations that created the problem in order to get his brain to deal with it. And I thought it was very interesting how he detailed the therapy he's going through and the procedure he's doing. And, you know, with his podcast that he's putting out there, he's keeping everyone, not just the media, but all of his fans informed. And I think that helps considerably. And I think he and, of course, his sister are very well-versed in how to operate things in today's world of media and social media. And they know that when you keep everyone informed accurately, then you don't have the rumors develop. And they've done an excellent job of that.
Absolutely. Junior has been on his podcast weekly. He's been very vocal about that. And I think one of the biggest vocal statements he made at in the press conference yesterday was when he said, I quote, "I have every intention of honoring my current contract. I sat with Rick, team owner Rick Hendrick, that is, before this happened a couple weeks ago to talk about an extension, and that's the direction that we're going in." So
looking at Dale Earnhardt Jr. sitting out these last few weeks, especially from a competitor standpoint, how tough is that for a driver to be sitting out this long, especially he was in a chase eligible position before this happened?
Oh, it's terribly hard. I mean, you can't stand to see someone else drive your car because, you know, you feel like you're maybe turning your ride over to somebody. And, of course, that has happened in the past. You know, unfortunately, it happened to Rich Craven back in the 1990s when really nothing was known about the concussion syndromes. And it cost Ricky his ride with Hendrick Motorsports. Now, Ricky has recovered and, of course, gone on with a very successful career with ESPN post his driving days. But you look at other drivers who didn't have the availability of the knowledge that Dale Earnhardt Jr. has. And, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr. has been a leader in dealing with concussions. But when you look back at the drivers who have had concussions and continue to drive, Sam Ard, who was the Busch Series champion, is dealing with Alzheimer's. So is Fred Lorenzen. And, of course, it came out a few weeks ago, Amanda Lorenzen, Fred's daughter, they have now donated Fred's brain when he passes away to the same foundation that Dale Earnhardt Jr. did, with the hope of research helping someone later on. Neil Bonnet had several head injuries. You look at the head injury that Bobby Allison had. And I know when I did a story several years ago on Rick Baldwin from San Antonio, Texas, and at that time, that was when basal skull fractures were being a tremendous issue before the Hans device came along. And I know when I went to San Antonio and Debbie Baldwin, Rick's wife, told me that the doctors told her that unfortunately head injuries are known, there's known less about head injuries than any other injury that a human can have because everyone's brain is different and it reacts differently. And therefore they can't really develop a lot of studies that's going to apply to everyone. They said that one person might be in a coma for 5 years and wake up, and it's just like they've been in a deep sleep, and they just pick right up and go on, whereas another person might be in a coma for 5 years and wake up and have to relearn everything. So the brain is a very complex part of our body, and everyone is different. It's almost unique, just like our DNA. So the more we can learn, the better for hopefully future generations. And, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr. has really been a leader in that. And I think that because he is focused so much on getting well 100% before coming back will set a fine example for future generations. And he was very accurate in what he said was that it would be more difficult for him to have done this if he was in his 20s working to develop a career and build one, rather than having all of the accomplishments he now has and being able to say, hey, well, wait a minute, I've got to get well.
Absolutely, and you look at some of his accolades, a two-time Daytona 500 champion. He's finished top 10 in points over 10 times in the Sprint Cup Series. Most popular driver for at least 15 years running now. So if Dale Earnhardt Jr. were to step away, in your opinion, what would the reaction be, and what would that do for his legacy?
You mean if he did not come back and drive?
Yes, yeah, if this was the end and he chose not to come back to a race car.
Well, I think it would be very difficult for a lot of the fans to accept. And it would be difficult for the sport as well. But I always remember a few things that happened. You know, first of all, when I was the editor of NASCAR Winston Cup Scene, the year after Richard Petty retired, we lost 2,300 subscribers because they had followed Richard Petty since he began driving in 1958. And they said that, you know, they weren't really interested in following that in depth anymore. And that's one thing about NASCAR. People follow the drivers. The drivers are the stars. And the sport had a tremendous loss of fans when we lost Dale Earnhardt in 2001 in the season opening Daytona 500. But you have the drivers coming along that bring new fans, or maybe they find a driver that reminds them of their driver who retired. I mean, look at Chase Elliott. I'm sure that Chase Elliott coming along has brought some Bill Elliott fans back to the sport. And, you know, he's got his father's physique, his father's talent, a lot of his father's personality. And I'm sure that's brought people back. And you have that generation coming along now, the same with Ryan Blaney. And it's like the Wood Brothers have told me, you know, both of them grew up around racing. And you don't have to tell Ryan what he needs to do or where he needs to be because he knows. He grew up around the sport. So while it would be a blow in the fan department and even possibly in TV ratings for a little while, I think the younger drivers that are coming along now will either bring new fans with them or maybe they will bring some fans back that followed their fathers or their grandfathers.
Yeah, and that was actually going to lead into my next point here, too, because we got some numbers from NASCAR marketing earlier this week, and one of those things they did touch on was television ratings. And according to these numbers from NASCAR, the Fox season, Daytona and Atlanta, quote-unquote, experienced significant declines in average ratings, and they've had a hard time closing the gap with that. And the Brickyard 400 a couple weeks ago, that was the highest-viewed Brickyard 400 in four seasons, and it saw an 11% increase in ratings. And would you say that has to do potentially with Jeff Gordon coming back and tying back into seeing someone's favorite driver back out on the racetrack?
Well, you know, I'm sure that had something to do with it. I'm sure a lot of people wanted to see Jeff Gordon run again and run Indy. And, of course, with it being Tony Stewart's final race at Indy, too. And the deal at the end when Tony Stewart just, you know, called the spotter and said, tell Jeff Gordon, spotter, we want to make a lap together around the track. I think that was very special. But Indianapolis, unlike the other tracks, is like a road course in that the best way to watch a race at Indy is on television. Because if you're at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, as a lot of people know, yes, you miss the pageantry. I mean, I still want to cover the Indy 500 one day, but I'm always tied up with the Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte Motor Speedway. But just the pageantry and everything that surrounds such a large event. But with Indy, you cannot see the entire track like you can Daytona or Talladega or Charlotte or Texas or Phoenix or, you know, any place like that. The only way you can watch it is, it really is on television and see the entire track. And with the excruciating heat and humidity that they had in Indy, I think a lot of people opted for that. But, yeah, I think Jeff Gordon's back and Tony Stewart's last race, I think that had a lot to do with the viewership there. I think one thing, the reason I kind of hedge on TV ratings, or really don't pay that much attention to them, I pay attention to them, but they've got to figure out a way to monitor or figure out streaming. You know, a lot of people DVR the races now, and if there's something specific they want to see, they come back through or they skip through the ads to watch the races. So they're DVR a lot of them, and they're watching them on the Internet or they're streaming them on their iPhones. And no one, to my knowledge, has developed a way of measuring that yet. So with the TV ratings, I don't know if you can really bank a lot on those. I know that's how they charge the rights fees and they rely on those. But I had a person tell me with ESPN a couple of years ago when it was the final year of ESPN's contract, and that person said, yes, the ratings are down, but there's still good ratings for live sports events. He said, you know, the only reason they look bad is because previously they were phenomenal. They were just out of the ballpark. And now they're coming back more in line with other live sporting events. And so I think it's very difficult to adjust to. It's like I was talking to a friend the other day who was bemoaning the decline in live attendance. Well, all live sporting events are having difficulty getting people to their events because television coverage has become so good. And because of the expenses involved. And I told him, I said, yes, this decline in attendance looks really bad from your standpoint because you've only been around the sport since the 80s and 90s when it was just growing by leaps and bounds. But when I was growing up in the 1960s, this attendance figures are becoming more like they were in the 1960s when the tracks were having bankruptcy issues. Charlotte Motor Speedway was in bankruptcy. Michigan went into bankruptcy. A lot of people think Roger Penske built Michigan, but he didn't. He bought it in bankruptcy court. So, you know, it's almost like we're going through another cycle here.
Absolutely. And we have a couple of minutes here, so I want to shift a little bit of gears here and talk a little bit about your work. I know this week earlier you had a really good story on Shauna Robinson and gave a little bit of more insight to what she and her family are going with. And to give the fans that may not know the information a bit of background information, Shauna Robinson was the last NASCAR female driver to make a start in the Cup Series before Danica Patrick in 2002. And unfortunately, she did have a battle with breast cancer, stage 3 breast cancer, and she did have her final radiation treatment a while back. But kind of give the fans a little bit of insight on that article and tell them what you had ended up talking about.
Well, what it was, of course, 2 months before Shauna was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer, her children's grandfather passed away, and I say that way because she and her husband divorced in 2000, but they never divorced themselves from the family. And so her former father-in-law, or father-in-law, as she still refers to him, passed away in January 2014 from prostate cancer. 2 months later, in March 2014, Shauna is diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. She begins undergoing treatment at the same time that Martin Truex Jr.'s longtime girlfriend, Sherry Pollux, is undergoing treatment and diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And then in the fall of 2015, when Shauna is starting to go through the radiation treatments, her mother-in-law's brother dies of lung cancer. And, of course, one thing I didn't mention in the story, because of it being on cancer, Shauna lost her brother in August of 2015 in a motorcycle accident. And then she undergoes her last radiation treatment of September 2015, and in 6 months later, this spring of this year, her son is diagnosed with testicular cancer 2 days before his 20th birthday. So, fortunately, because of what he learned from his grandfather's experience, he immediately got checked. They caught it early, and he had surgery, and he recently completed his 3 weeks of chemotherapy and all, but they talk about how his mother was able to help him because, as he said, she's laid in my bed. You know, she knows what the chemo is going to do and how it's going to react on me. So it's been a real struggle for the entire family, but his father is Jeff Clark, who's vice president of sales for Roush Yates Engines. And it's like Jeff said, you know, as racers, we feel we can fix anything. But we also have to realize when we have something like this that family is most important. We always tend to put racing ahead of everything, but when things like this happen, you realize just how important family really is.
Absolutely. And Deb, thank you so much for coming on the show today. You can all check her work out at ESPNW.com, also some of her work on racing today. Deb, thank you so much for joining the show. We'd love to have you back sometime soon.
Thank you. It's a pleasure, and I'd love to come back sometime.
Excellent. We look forward to it. And you're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7, the team. We'll be back after this.
I'm a bitter, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. Play my music in the sun.
Hi, this is Martin Truex Jr. You're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN Albuquerque 101.7, the team.
The Albuquerque Journal has all of the things you need in one place. Check out the classifieds for great deals or pursue the real estate listings. Get your car fix with the Autos Classified section and deals from local dealerships. Find a new companion animal or check out our Fetch section for advice, resources, and informative stories on our furry friends. If you love it, we have it. Pick up the journal today at one of our many kiosk locations or visit us at abqjournal.com.
Napa Auto Parts presents NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Know-How with Chase Elliott and Dale Earnhardt Jr.
In order to enter a Sprint Cup driver's meeting, all rookies must learn the secret handshake.
How does that go again?
Follow me. All right, you got it?
Yeah, but now everyone else knows it.
We're on radio, Chase. Radio. They can't see anything.
Tune in next time for more Napa Know-How with Chase and Dale Jr.
Bob Brown here to tell you about Nick and Jimmy's. I dine at Nick and Jimmy's for lunch and dinner. The atmosphere is exceptional, the service is awesome, and their cuisine is unmatched. My favorite is their green chili meatloaf, topped with a rich and delicious brown gravy served with your choice of vegetables and starch. The green chili meatloaf is also on a long list of entrees for their Sunday three-course special for $13.95. Enjoy your choice of salad, soup, an entree, and a delicious homemade dessert, all for just $13.95. Enjoy everything from their made-from-scratch pizzas, pastas, to prime-cut steaks. Nick and Jimmy's has something for everyone. I go to Nick and Jimmy's with my wife or meet a buddy in their bar for a signature cocktail. Large party seating is available so you can have your next corporate lunch, birthday, anniversaries, or any other special occasion at Nick and Jimmy's. Let Nick and Jimmy's cater your next function or gathering. They'll bring their delicious food to you. Nick and Jimmy's, something for everyone and the best place to dine this summer. Jefferson and I-25.
The Albuquerque Police Department is currently hiring for police cadets for their fall academy and offering a $5,000 sign-on bonus and immediate hiring, which means you are employed as soon as you're accepted into the academy. APD has an ongoing process of hiring applicants that meet their qualifications, and they want to know if you are ready to take the next step. A career with APD is exciting and rewarding, offering great benefits and paid vacation. Apply online at apdonline.com, apdonline.com, or call 800-7-POLICE. That's 800-7-POLICE.
Nestled in the heart of beautiful Paradise Hills, more than a golf course with great conditions, it's Desert Greens, a stellar destination for dining. Every Wednesday evening, there's a different special, like barbecue chicken and ribs, beef or chicken fajitas, lasagna and chicken Alfredo, or surf and turf, a 6-ounce steak and shrimp. All specials are only $11.95. That's $11.95. Enjoy a Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. special. Get your green fee, cart, warm-up bucket, and a hot dog, all for just $33. We'll see you at Desert Greens. DesertGreensGolfCourse.com, 898-7001. The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Loose Customs, a division of J. Walton Automotive, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7. The team, Dominic Otto going in for David Stolpe. I've been told by our producers now, green, white, checkered. We have 2 laps, so we have 2 minutes. We're going to make this real quick here for you guys. We have the Unser Racing Museum event calendar coming up. Xfinity, NASCAR Xfinity Series is today at Watkins Glen. Joey Logano is your defending race winner. That kicks off today at 12 on CNBC. Sprint Cup Series action from Watkins Glen will continue out there. They're live tomorrow, 12:30. Coverage begins Mountain Time on USA Network. First race on USA Network because of Olympic coverage. Today, we have the ARCA Series at Berlin Speedway. Grant Enfinger is your defending race winner. For IndyCar, we're going to have round 13 of 16 at Pocono Raceway. That's going to be in 2 weeks on the 21st. Ryan Hunter-Reay is your defending race winner there. Juan Pablo Montoya and Scott Dixon are in a deadlock heat for the point lead. The NHRA 29th Annual Protect the Harvest NHRA Northwest Nationals in Kent, Washington are today. At ABQ Dragway, we're going to have the Take It to the Track presented by Yearwood. That's 6 to 11 tonight. Sandia Motor Speedway with a non-wing race at 6:30. That's going to be tonight at 6:30, excuse me. And Sandia MX at Moriarty. That's August 13th and 14th. That's going to be the MX Series Round 3. And upcoming car shows, we have the Route 66 Casino Hotel Calendar Show. You can catch the podcast of this show live, on demand, anytime you'd like, New Mexico Motorsports Report. That's nmmotorsportsreport.com. Find the blog, 1017 The Team. Find us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We're at NMM Report. That's at NMM Report. And this is brought to you by the Unser Racing Museum. They're located at 1776 Montaño. They're open daily 10 to 4. And hey, Frank Caliendo's coming to Legends Theater, Route 66 Casino, on Saturday, August 13th. Who doesn't love Frank Caliendo? All the impersonations he does. You've heard him on ESPN Radio. Now ESPN Radio 101.7, The Team, wants to send you and Frank Caliendo live
and much more. Winners will receive two tickets to the show, a $50 gift card inside Thunder Road Steakhouse and Cantina inside the casino, and a meet-and-greet autograph session with The Frank prior to the show. Simply enter to win at 1017theteam.com under Contest tab, and winners will be drawn randomly, announced live on air in the locker room with Bob Brown Thursday, August 11th. Quick programming note, coming up next, we're going to have FM Sports Saturday. 10 o'clock, we're going to have the New Mexico Golf Report, 11 with Henry T., 1 p.m. with the California.
1017 KQTM Rio Rancho Albuquerque, your hometown radio station.